It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Hey, this is what's happening Tuesday, November 17th. It is 2020, the year of never seeing anybody again.
I'm Brady Wright.
Ron Foreman is here as our co-host, the founder and president of the Ratmasters Car Club, which you can see by the cleverly designed poster right behind his head. It says Ratmaster Car Club.
Oh, there we go.
And Steve Johann is, as usual, our producer. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, whatever time it happens to be. This is the 162nd episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And as usual, we're on iTunes and iHeart and Spotify and Podomatic, our home site, plus Stitcher and TuneIn and Player FM and a bunch of others that Steve keeps finding. I can't keep track of them.
Yes.
But there's a bunch. We thank you for listening. We share this show to over a million people every week. And if you're one of the three people that actually listen to it, we're glad to have you here. Our Facebook page is filled with all of our archives and the old shows and stuff. So if you're one of the people who, you know, like we say, takes time to listen to the show, we appreciate it. This is the first show that we are doing from three separate locations, which is why you see three people on here. Steve is at our production facility in Seattle. Like that production facility.
Yes,
nice.
In
Seattle. Ron is at his home in scenic Gold Bar, Washington, and I am at my home in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is great. We're a multi-locational show.
Yep.
Anyway, we thank you for tuning in. Our first segment, as always, is Back to the Blacktop. Steve has cool stuff about the automotive industry, which he has dredged up by going through the dumpster behind the Hemmings Auto News location. So
yes.
What did you find this week?
Well, I've been using the old barge to get out there to the dredge
the
site.
Barge,
yes.
See.
Well, we have this. Nissan Motors officially dismissed rumors that the troubled automaker is looking to sell off parts of its stake in the smaller Japanese automaker Mitsubishi Motors. While still under leadership of former CEO Carlos Ghosn, Nissan purchased a 34% stake in Mitsubishi. Then suspected of teetering on the brink of bankruptcy, they are saying, it's still okay.
I hate teetering.
And the fact is my wife bought, you know, a 2016 Mitsubishi, beautiful little Outlander, and it's a great car. So I don't want to see any kind of demise of this company. They make great trucks.
But look, Mitsubishi puts motors in half the stuff that comes out of Japan. It's a huge
conglomerate.
So how are they going bankrupt? I mean, they make motors for everything.
Maybe just the cars with their moniker on it. But the fact is, you know, that they're still going to be producing, like you said, the motors and the trucks and that kind of thing. So
yeah,
we hate to see that. And then
one thing they don't make is the Chevy 350 that Ron has in his Ford.
Right.
Which is a whole other story.
That's called tottering. Teeter-totter.
Tottering.
Yes. That's right.
Not a tottering old man yet.
No. My car keeps me young.
There used to be an advertising agency in Seattle called Teeter Totter and Clunk.
Oh, gosh.
And it was one of my favorite, names.
I love it. Well, it's been a while since we heard the recall, but we have one now. General Motors is the latest automaker to recall battery electric vehicle due to high risk of fires. The move announced this week a recall of 68,000 of its Chevrolet Bolt EVs. The company says it's short-term solution, but it reduces range. So, in other words, they have a solution, keep it from having fires, but it's going to reduce the range. So it means
maybe
trip to the coffee shop and back.
Yeah, I mean, do they not use a variation of the lithium-ion batteries in those things?
Yeah.
Because those, I mean, the ones in the hoverboards and the, you know, the skateboardy looking
right.
things, they're kind of famous for catching on fire at random times.
Oh, I know.
You would think they wouldn't do that in a car. I mean, it's bigger battery, bigger fire, I assume.
Okay, so they're going to fix it. You're going to get your car back, and then instead of going 100 miles or whatever you can go on a charge, you might be able to go
12.
Exactly.
And then you'll plug it into your charger that's powered by a diesel generator.
That's right.
I don't know, you know.
Well, other bad news.
You can always use your hotspot on your phone and keep going.
You could. Wait, I could. Let's all do that. I have.
Here. I got mine right here.
All right.
Yeah, we got the. Maybe that'll charge it for another mile. It'll keep it going for another mile. Well, speaking of.
Do you have one of those solar chargers you can put in there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. The little ones you take on hiking trips and stuff that you could plug three things into.
My hat.
for the people who don't know how to rough it without their electronics. Well, we got some bad news from Daimler this time of Mercedes-Benz. Expects to become a smaller company during the next 5 years as it's making its shift from gas and diesel to electric propulsion. So
another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust to electrics. See, they already got nailed for the diesel. All the European countries are pushing really hard to get off the diesel. And now it's like, well, we have our gas powered, but what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go to the battery. And I think all these companies think they're going to be saved by, and they're at least saying, hey, we're going to be a smaller company. We're not going to sell as many battery operated cars. And there, I know there's a lot of people who love those things, but I think we're a long ways off from whatever the projection is.
See, there's another side to this that people aren't thinking about, but it's true.
Yep.
As a manufacturer, if you say we're going to devote 20% of our output to electric cars,
yep,
you get government subsidies.
Yep, you got to pay taxes.
It's all about the money. It has nothing to do. Well, it has something to do with the technology, but mostly it's like we get money if we do this.
Well,
so if you're not buying gas and you're not paying the taxes that are on the gas a gallon, you have to pay the subsidies for the taxes are going to tax you. Even though you think you're going to save by buying an electric car, they're still going to get a check in the mail or a bill in the mail for the taxes that you owe.
Besides, how are they going to have a straight face and give us an electric Hemi?
Oh, I know. I know.
Can't gonna happen.
Can't do it.
Well, you were saying you must have read my mind, my crib sheet here. But speaking of subsidies, we have this. How do you get free taxpayer money? You start an electric powered car company.
Sure.
Engine maker Cummins Incorporated and truck maker Navistar International Corp are partnering up to accelerate the development of hydrogen fuel cell powered big rigs, formerly described as Class 8 trucks. The companies will get $7 million from the Department of Energy to help fund the project.
Sure,
I mean,
they will.
I think we need to start the horsepower chrome and rust alternative energy car. And what we'll do is we'll take a rat rod or we'll take a hot rod and we'll figure out how to burn vegetable oil in it and maybe get some subsidies.
Sure.
Well, you think that's a great idea?
Horsepower, chrome, and volt. I'm right
oh,
there.
Oh, I know. Or horsepower, chrome, and
jumper cables.
Vegetable oil. Just, I mean, come on.
We drive down the road and smell like peanut butter.
Oh, we've got a couple companies that do that here in town, I think.
Yeah, Willie Nelson's tour bus was powered by vegetable oil for a long time.
Yeah.
People used to follow him and say, you smell like french fries.
You guys got a sign.
It hurts when he gets the munchies.
Oh, God. He had them all the time. You know him.
Yep.
Well, we've got this. Congratulations to Mercedes-Benz E-Class for being the Motor Trend 2021 Golden Calipers Car of the Year. And
the Golden Calipers.
Yes, the top honor for them. I guess it must be nice for those who can afford a Class E Mercedes-Benz. But congratulations. And speaking of winning, we have the newest winner of the Hot Wheels Challenge. Mattel announced today the winner of the 2020 Hot Wheels Legends Tour. It's a 1970 Pontiac Trans Am custom car built by Riley Stair of Sacramento, which was inducted into the Hot Wheels Garage of Legends. And we'll join other Hot Wheels collection at the 1/64th scale die cast. And I think it's a really cool.
Do we have a picture of it?
Well, you can go online and do what I, you know, maybe I'll pull something up and throw it up on the Facebook page.
Now that we're doing video shows.
Oh, you know what? I need to learn how to do that and manipulate.
Well, no,
quick.
If nothing else, you could print one out and just hold it up.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Well, I'm going to be learning how to do this, and you're right. I can probably pull it up and do shares. I can, there you go.
Yeah, Ron can do it.
And
look at this. I'll give Ron a big clap.
Yeah, and so.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Well, anyways, we got more coming up. By the way, it was
there
all.
There you go.
Look at that.
Is that the new patch?
Shameless self promo. Shameless self promo.
Our last car show at the Triple
right on.
Drive-in.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Ron, everybody's going to know about the Rat Bastards, even if they don't know about our show. I mean,
I've been to Dubai and back. Come on, I've been around
that's
the world.
Right. That's
Rat
right.
Rat Bastards have been
they
worldwide.
Invited. They invited him
that's
to
That's right. I was a judge for the Emirates Car Show there. It's awesome.
Hey, we really appreciate you tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we're going to go back to our concept of how to build a hot rod from A to Z. Ron's got some input on that one, so stick with us. We are going to be back, we promise. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, y'all, this is Tommy Ring with Ring Rods Hot Rod Shop in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Bunch of crazy dudes just like me. For all y'all crazy people out there, give us a listen. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of Windshield View. We're going to be talking about how to build a hot rod, part two. Take it away, Brady.
Oh, we are. Well, see, the last time we got together, we kind of said, you know, there's a lot of people who build cars or maybe want to build a car or are in the middle of building a car and they, you know, kind of get stuck. It's never a bad thing to go back and look at, you know, kind of A to Z. What do you do first? What do you do second? What do you not want to miss? And Ron had some great ideas because of the three of us, Ron has built 10,000 cars more than we have. But also
a little exaggeration.
Well,
that's
all right,
okay.
11 cars. How's
I've
that?
Helped lots of people build their cars.
Yes, you have. Me included. But yeah, we were talking last week, or last, let's see, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how to do this. And we sort of got onto Steve's car, which is important. I mean, we want to make sure that Steve gets his El Camino built. But generally speaking, if you're going to start doing a car, there's kind of, we decided there were two ways to sort of look at it. Either you rebuild something that you have, or you start from scratch and come up with a chassis and a body and a, you know, power plant and everything and do it that way. It really kind of doesn't matter because if you're going to build a car, you're going to have to go through all of those things, you know, one by one anyway, because you want it to be safe. You want the frame to be straight. You want the brakes to work, the power plant to work, all of that stuff. So I know that one of the things that I get asked a lot, and I also see it on Facebook and the other, you know, social media channels, is what's a good first thing to do? Let's say you've got a chassis, you've got a car, maybe you bought an old Hulk or something you're going to fix up. The first thing you want to do before you start painting and putting in a new interior and stuff like that. And for my part, I usually say, make sure that the running gear is safe and operable and you can start and stop. You know, to go to the brakes and the chassis and the steering first. Does that make sense?
It depends on what you want to do first. I mean, if what you can afford, you know, if you want to, what you want to afford is, you know, I started out with looking for a frame and then going boxed it, you know, and then by the time I got done boxing it, I had enough money saved up. I could buy the front end through Speedway Motors. And then I got that. And then I looked around for a rear end, put that in there and I got the springs for that and built the not the hemis, but the hairpins and the radius rods. We built a table and we made a stud on the table, welding table, and we bent them, heated them up and bent them around that to get the curvatures that we needed for the radiuses for those.
Yeah. Hairpins. But now what you're talking about essentially is the powertrain and the running gear. And whether you're building one or whether you're buying one, before you get the thing out on the road, you kind of want to make sure, is it set up correctly? Does each one of the components, you know, work correct? I mean, if you get whatever rear end you got, you want to kind of take a look at it and make sure that it's safe and it's sealed and it fits the chassis of the car.
Sure. Sure,
and the brakes, you know, maybe you bought, in my particular case, for example, I bought a chassis out of a junkyard. Well, it's all the parts are there, but I don't know how they work. So, you know, I rebuilt the back.
Yeah, go through them, take a look at them, make sure everything's functioning.
Yeah.
Now, Ron, it sounds like, though, you bought just the frame with no running gear. So you literally had to fabricate your own.
The frame was separate from the
Someone's
body.
Dinging, by the way.
And my sister's messaging me, but I got to use my phone for my timer.
Oh, yeah.
But I bought the car for $650, it came with the frame, the fenders, the body. It was missing one of the doors. And so the frame was partially boxed already. And it was on sawhorses.
Okay.
And,
right.
So I put it on a trailer, brought it home, and I had another body. It was a 2-door sedan with a 4-inch chop, and I agonized on which one should I use, the 29 body with the had the 4-inch chop or the stock one, and I ended up going with the stock one. I don't know why I did, and.
Well, if I had to guess, I would maybe suggest the headroom. I mean, chopping
a little bit, yeah,
is fun.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, relatively tall guy, and I think a 4-inch chop, you'd have been crunched down in there, or you'd have had to put the seat on the floor, you know. So
the seat is on the floor.
But I mean, with 4-inch less headroom, your head would be sticking out the top of that spider web.
That'd be like the monster guy on Ed Roth.
Yeah. So it's just practicality.
So it did have brake lines or anything like this?
Nope.
Or you had to come in?
I ran all the brake lines. I ran all the wiring.
Did you fabricate your own brake lines, or do you buy that?
Yes. No, I fabricated the
tubes.
Brake lines.
Yep. Well, you can buy bulk tubing. You can buy line
and
fittings and stuff. But it's never going to be the exact. You can't. There's no kit. So you're going to have to make it and put the fittings on and stuff. That's not that complicated. It's just assembly. It's like Lincoln Logs or Tinker Toys. You can do it, but you measure three times and cut once, you know.
If I can name drop, Eastwood has a great kit for flaring tool that really does a great job.
Yeah.
Gary Estes made me a couple of different fittings, and it works really great.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice. So you can make your own fittings. The ones 20 years ago when I built my car, there was no – really fancy you know, flaring tool, and the ones that I get either it split or I tried to get it to work and it didn't work, so I ended up just purchasing the length that I needed that had the factory flares already on it, and then when they're along I did a coil and then I put it in there and put that in there, and when you have a brake master cylinder that's in the area of the frame below the car and below the cylinders, wheel cylinders, and the calipers, they make these valves. I think it's a 2-pound and a 5-pound valve that you've got to put in the in line. So when you hit the brakes, they don't bleed back off into the, into
pressure,
the master cylinder.
Pressure regulating valve, is that what it is? Yeah.
Yep.
So it doesn't allow it to reverse back. It stays in there.
Yeah. You don't want to leave it to gravity. Because then when you're going up a hill, you got no brakes.
No brakes.
Now, that's another point.
Right away.
When I look at the brakes, even on my car, it goes looping around a little bit. Then it goes down and around. What's the idea of looping it off the master cylinder? Is it just the way they – or do you
just
have
– Just extra line.
Okay. So even from the factory, they kind of
– Yep.
Okay.
Just takes up the slack.
Okay.
So it's there, and it's probably different applications for different cars. So they use the same brake line. Some are a little longer than the others, so –
Yeah.
The other, you know, as long as we're talking about line plumbing, basically, you know, you got the brake lines. That's one thing. But you also got fuel lines.
Fuel line.
A lot of people will say, well, I don't like the capacity of the stock gas tank, so I'm going to get another one. You get a new one or you get one from another car. Not only do you have to run your own fuel lines, of course, you're going to have to deal with the fuel pump, and you may have to adjust the pressure. There may be, you know, because it's not necessarily going to be the same from whatever car you got it. You might have to get yourself an equalizing valve there. And, you know, fuel injected or carbureted, then there's that, you know, whole issue.
Yep.
So one thing that I found that Ron actually suggested this to me, but I was sort of there from another point of view too. Never be afraid to go to YouTube and just say, I need to figure out how to do this. There's a million videos
from
guys probably
there,
have done something similar, and you can learn a lot by looking at that. And you're going to make mistakes, but that's
Mistakes are opportunities to learn.
It's exactly that. Like, now I know not to do that because the other one blew up or, you know, something. So, yep.
so it's
great.
The whole car blew up? You blew up your car?
More or less, yeah.
So I got a question. So like on the fuel line, a lot of people use, at least at certain points, the braided, you know, stainless steel line. But I would think you'd still want the hard plumbing all the way down your frame rail until you get to the back. Am I correct on that?
The braided thing you're talking about, I think, is what they use to, when they make corners and radiuses, to keep it from collapsing. I've never seen a braided fuel line.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, and anyway,
maybe it's on motorcycles. I've seen
well,
that.
The braided lines are solid inside. It's just a look. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's not.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's
not going to come out. It's
decorative.
Just a covering. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I did that on two or three motorcycles.
It
looks cool, but it's a solid inside.
I guess it's a coil that they use for making the radiuses. That's not a braided thing. That's
yeah.
right.
Okay. Yeah. Because you can get the little fittings and that kind of thing that you can use to.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to learn about, and
there's a ton.
We're going to talk about more.
One of my favorite things that we can talk about in the next segment too is goofy details. I had somebody build a house one time, and the goofy detail came back and bit me several times. We'll talk about that in the next segment, Ron.
Yeah, okay. I can't wait. Windshield View will be right back right after this. We're going to be talking about more teeter-tottering building hot rods.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, In the Rough is Enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Don't move. We'll bring this rig home right after this.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And let's get back to our conversation. And we were talking about running, gas lines and brake lines. And I had a question about electrical because, my El Camino, I can buy a whole harness that's already geared to that car. But what do you do when you are taking your car, Ron, and it doesn't have any electrical wiring, or I would assume, how do you go through and wire everything? Where do you get your harnesses? How do you know to do it correctly?
Speedway.
And, yeah.
Well, I got at the swap meet, there was a guy selling these easy, it's called easy wiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple 4 fuse kit And you really don't even need a fuse box to get it to run, but yeah. to run like your lights and your gauges and things of that nature. I used it's called Easy, and all the wires have, you know, it says tail light, brake light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Know, dash light, all that's already written right on the wire.
Right.
So you could trace it down and run your tail lights and your headlights and all those types of things off your fuse box.
Well,
they have them at Speedway as well.
Sure. And a lot of companies make some version of that. I mean, I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
I got the one that I used. Now, I had no wiring harness at all. I mean, I started literally from scratch.
I didn't either.
Rebel Wire makes one that's like a 14 circuit. They make a 12 and a 8 and stuff. So it just kind of depends. I mean, if you want to start from scratch, and I didn't want to try to piece together, you know, stuff from several different cars. But I'm okay following directions, and I'm okay, you know, cutting and splicing wire. So I just thought, well, I'll just buy a whole new kit, and it basically comes all loomed. Mm-hmm. There's a fuse box with it, and you just have to figure out where am I going to put the fuse box, and then you just run things to the various components. And if I figured I have enough circuits that if I decided I wanted to run air conditioning or a stereo or something else, you know, besides just the basic lights and engine stuff. Then I could. And those things aren't that expensive, $150 or something. Yes. You know?
I think I paid $75 for the one I got. I mean, the swap meet.
They're pretty easy. And
almost
anybody could put one of those things together. I mean, I did it with motorcycles, and there's only about 6 circuits on them, so it's just more of the same.
I think Steve, though, is talking about keeping his car stock. He's probably going to want to have to go ahead and get the stock.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the aftermarket companies carry the whole complete stock OEM style. But for you, you're saying, okay, so we got the basics of everything, and it's pretty much a plug and play then do you get extra wiring? So if you don't use all of it, you just kind of tether it up and twist, zip tie it?
You can cut it. You can cut it to fit once you have it. They usually give you extra wiring in each line so you can short it and cut it to fit.
And when you cut it, is it pretty much just at the end points? You don't want to really do any real splicing in between, do you?
Well, I don't know if you want to solder like to the pigtail for your lights or whatever you want to do. If you make a solid connection, but something like that, yeah, you just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, because you don't want to try to do twist ties or
They also have the connectors. You can crush the clamp.
Right.
Yeah. They have those too, but soldering is much probably a better idea. And then you heat up a little plastic thing that shrinks to it.
Oh, yeah. I've used some of that. Right.
Yeah.
The one thing I think every kit that you get may be a little bit different. The one that I got, the thing that it didn't have a whole lot of was shrink wrap, you know, wire protectors, because you're going to run them through the holes in the firewall at various places. You need those little grommets that go around the hole so that it doesn't tear the wire. And then, you know, some kind of shrink wrap. You have 2-3 wires, 4 wires, 6 together. You don't want to have any more of that than you can arrange. So the wire covering, basically shrink wrap.
Right.
I needed to get some more of that stuff so that I knew I had enough when I got to those runs. But yeah, you'll say to yourself, I'm probably not going to run, I don't know, driving lights, we'll just say. Well, get enough wire that if you wanted them, you already have it there.
Right.
You can tie it off, like Ron says, you can put it, you know, behind the bumper or something. So if you never use it, you never use it. But in case you just
behind the bumper?
Somewhere. Behind the grill. I don't know.
You're trying to sneak that by me. I got you.
Depends on your car.
Have any bumpers.
Your Oldsmobile has a bumper.
Yes, it does.
I know. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at his picture of his car right there on the wall. Yeah, it's the Greenwood car show. He's got a picture of his. It includes it in here. No, there's no bumpers on there. It's not going to pass DOT standards, but it will, I guess, because it's a hot rod, and it does pass.
Yeah.
So when you
go ahead.
When you're choosing your brakes, the old days, it was, you know, back in the old days, it was all drum brakes. But now you've got a lot of choices, whether it's drum in the back, calipers in the front. What do you choose? Are you mostly dealing with your power plant and stoppability? Just talk a little bit about that. And then also talk about handling. What are you trying to do with your car? How do you set it up so it handles really well, or is it not as important? Because, and do you want power steering, no power steering? I mean, this is a basic hot rod that you got, Ron. So were you considering any handability things, or more like, hey, we're just going to go out and have fun driving this. I'm not worried about it driving like a Porsche or anything. So keep it plain, Jane. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, my car is pretty much set up like as if you were going to drag race it. So it's made to go in a straight line. And that's pretty much how the hot rodders did it back in the day, like you're talking about back in the early
yes.
old days. But as far as handling, it's fine. I don't, I'm not out there trying to be in any Granatelli or anybody like that. I'm just out having fun. I built it safe first and foremost, and I have disc brakes in the front, and I have drum brakes in the back. Disc brakes is with technology and way things are on the road, you want to be able to stop, not just go.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just to have fun. And to set up your car, it all depends on what you want to do. Like you were saying, if you want power steering, they make an electric assist now. You can put right on your steering. And which I think Mike just put that on his Model A. And it's pretty much stock. And he put an electric assist, so it's having power steering on a stock Model A, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see now, in my particular situation, I got a chassis from another car, and I got it specifically because it had disc front and drum rear and torsion bar suspension. And, that's a lot more modern than the 41 GMC pickup
that
I was building.
Right.
Because, like Ron says, I wanted to stop safe. I wanted it to handle reasonably well. And, it's no fun. Well, it's a thing to build a car like all original and, that way. But it's also, it's more work to drive it that way.
Right.
It's kind of challenging. You don't want to have to fight the thing.
Right.
So having power steering, not a bad deal. Now, if your car is I don't know what your car weighs, Ron. It's probably 2,000 pounds, maybe.
Just under.
Yeah.
Just under, about 1,700 pounds.
Power steering, maybe, maybe not necessary. But some of the heavier cars, you want, it comes in pretty handy.
I have an automatic transmission because we live in a where we live is like traffic city, and I don't want to be shifting all the time. I
have a lot of hills.
I want to be comfortable.
Yeah,
and I want to be doing a lot of shifting. I could certainly build a car to do that if I wanted to.
Sure.
But I chose not to just because I want to be cruising.
And that sort of dovetails into the power plant. I mean, everybody knows that the Chevy 350 with the 350 automatic transmission is kind of a generic power plant. It goes pretty much everywhere. You see them all the time. And one of the reasons you do, well, two reasons. First off, they made 40 billion of the things. And second, it's a real reliable combination. The motor's solid to give you decent horsepower, and that transmission is pretty, easy to deal with, and you don't have to shift. So there's a lot to be said for that.
I have a Power Glide in my car. I have a 2-speed Power Glide. And
that was the transmission before the 350.
That's out of a 1962 Nova.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I paid $75 for it at the swap meet. I haven't done a thing to it, but keep the transmission fluid in it, put a new filter in it.
Mm-hmm.
When I put the high low car shifter in, I had to do some. I take the pan off and do a little adjusting inside there to get it in there and put it all back together. And it's been driving it ever since.
But they're a great transmission. I still remember how to adjust the bands on mine. I had one in the 63
right
Impala, 2.25 turns out from top, from total bottom end, and then you'd lock it down and should be good.
We have to have a conversation because I need to go back in there and do that.
I'm good for coming over and helping.
Awesome.
You.
I know you are. I am there with you too. That's just a little further to drive now.
A little bit now. I drove back. This is off the subject, but I drove back from Seattle to Coeur d'Alene today. It took me 5.5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
I was not doing the speed limit.
I didn't think so.
Oh, well, of course
just
not.
Get that right out front.
Oh.
But
citizen's arrest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you can find me. You can.
One of the other thing is how do you go about? Are you choosing to like do powder coating or just paint by spray paint at Rattle Can your frame and that? How do you preserve your car so that you can get a lot of miles out of it and not have it rust? What do you do for coatings?
So what are you saying is wrong with rust?
What is wrong with rust?
My car's got plenty of it.
Horsepower, chrome
and rust.
Rust, baby, rust.
Yeah. This is true. But I'm just saying,
have you seen my truck?
I'm talking about the frame, not the not the sheet metal.
Have you seen my Hudson?
No, I haven't. I've seen it, but not up close.
Nah, well.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
You don't have to see it. Just listen and you can hear it, Russ.
You can, yeah.
hear it.
Rust is important to deal with. I mean, obviously, if your frame has got that kind of stuff, you want to make sure to take care of that.
Yeah, you want to make sure you take care of that rust.
Because
any kind of a dent or
you want
anything like
that
in your frame. Yep.
Up off the freeway at 70 miles an hour. You don't want to, that's not fun to go down. But yeah, I mean, Ron's right. Body rust is important. Chassis rust is vital. You got to make sure you do that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of different ways. I mean, obviously, you can put patch panels in. You can weld in new metal. You can use rust reformer or, sealant and stuff like that. But it depends also on the look. I mean, if you're building a concourse car that's going to be perfect and everything, well, that's a whole different deal. But
yeah.
One of the slogans for the Rat Bastards is "In the rough is enough."
You're
okay.
And my car is in the rough. It's not a perfect car. It's what they call, some people call it a 20-foot car. It looks pretty good 20 feet away.
Right.
But I love it all about it. I don't care if there's a dent here or there. I did mind. Someone took a knife to the back of my car and cut up my Rat Bastards.
Your lettering back there.
Yeah, at a car show.
Oh,
was that a while back?
Wasn't it?
That's been a while back.
Yeah.
You can delete that, Steve, if you want to. You can edit that out.
No, that's okay.
But people do. There's parking lot stuff.
Yeah, there's people. That's why we have a bond in our car club, because, it's not cool to...
Well, no. Somebody's
car, and then you're liable for it, so it's horrible.
But we've all seen where somebody has a beautiful car and a beautiful paint job, and somebody comes along and keys it because they're just totally... just being an idiot. But I want to shift it gear. So when you've got the frame done, you got the body work, then we were on our cruise a couple weeks ago, and one of the guys actually, I think it was a 51, whatever he had, and he actually found out that he could take the front two captain's chairs from like my Astrovan, literally, and dropped them in, and then put the back seat right into the back, and it fit perfect. And he didn't have to do a thing to it. It fit right there.
Awesome.
So, and
sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah.
So
it is amazing how many things from other vehicles fit, though. I mean, I've got the 41 through 46 Chevy or GMC pickups. If you want a great looking seat, it's a bench seat for those things. The 2005 to 2009 Tahoe,
yes,
the third row seat from the Tahoes and the Denalis.
There you go.
Drops right
so
in.
So the seats that are in my car are out of a 1949 Suburban.
There you go.
Crummy. Yeah. There were the tip-up seats so you can go in the back, so the car
right
can get in the back.
Right.
The tip
forward. Slide forward?
Yep. Well, this is
roll
the,
forward.
The seats that are in mine are out of one of those. They're really perfectly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. Because you're building it from scratch, there's probably 100 choices when you really come down to it.
Endless.
It's endless.
Yeah.
And the junkyard and or swap meets or eBay is a perfect place to get it.
The swap meets are going to be there because the junkyards are there.
Yeah, junkyards are getting kind of slim. But the prices,
you're
prices
right
at the pick and pulls are still pretty good. The bench seat that I found for my truck, $50.
Perfect.
Wow.
You pull it and it's
there you go.
Done. Yeah. So sometimes you get lucky.
You'd pay more than that at a swap meet probably for a bench
seat. You probably
seat.
Would, yeah.
Right, and I think that's...
seat belts.
Don't right you become like Sherlock Holmes. You start sourcing everything, do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
research.
Facebook and YouTube are great resources there, too. What seats will fit my something? And you'll get a dozen answers, and, it's easy to go and choose. And then you go out and look. You spend a little time in the junkyard. Spend some time walking the swap meet aisles.
Right.
Look at somebody else's car. I mean, because somebody's got one of yours, likely. And you can see it and say, well, I like this look or I don't like that look. I'm not crazy about that look. That's a weird look right there.
Ron is the forever joker. Joker's wild with Ron on
Listen,
here.
I
love it.
If I had one
it
of those things here. Yeah, it's easy for you to say, buddy.
Now we're going to see the real humor of Ron. He's got his little shop there, but there we go. I take it you're a big fan of that movie, huh?
Well, like grandkids,
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Well, you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and we got a great hot rod story you can share
awesome.
With all your friends coming up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And get that little yellow guy out of here, Ron.
Bring him back. I need an audience for the show.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hi, this is Big Daddy Don Garlitson. Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential, another great story from Brady with the Fenders, Fins, and Friends from Lance Lambert.
Oh, yeah. I got it right here. Fenders, Fins.
Awesome.
Oh.
Is this backwards? It looks backwards to me.
No, it looks fine. I can see exactly.
Is it okay?
Yep.
I can never tell because, you know, when you hold
No, Ron's, I can see Ron's is perfect. Yours is perfect. So everything's looking good.
Okay. To me, it looks backwards, though. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
As long as it's forward to you, that's good.
Is that backwards to you, Steve?
Nope.
That's
nobody
perfect.
Can tell.
I can see.
Right.
I can
works
read
for
it.
Me. Cool. Well, so yeah, I did find a really good one. And it's kind of apropos because this time of the year with the weather, what it is and lots of rain, lots of snow in some other areas, it's kind of hard to see where you're going sometimes. And it's especially hard to see where you're parking. And the story this week is called Perfect Parking. So my wife, a truly lovely woman, and our daughter, the pride of my life, keep picking on me. They think they're giving me good advice, but to the contrary, they are totally wrong on the topic of parking.
Parking.
Parking is something about which I am a true expert. At the age of 18, I actually made a portion of my living as a valet at a posh restaurant frequented by posh people with posh cars. You can always tell a restaurant is posh when the parking staff are called valets rather than parking lot attendants. The patrons trusted me to park their symbols of success, and therefore this qualifies me as an expert valet. It's very similar to getting a PhD or an honorary degree in the field of parking.
Lance likes to overemphasize his importance,
doesn't he?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Mrs. and Miss Lambert failed to recognize my parking expertise. Here's the usual scenario. We're out for dinner, shopping, whatever. We pull into a parking lot. Instantly, my parking survival skills come into play. Which spot is least likely to result in getting any door dings or scratches? What spot assures that any vigorous door opening into another car by a Lambert will not result in a punch in my nose, a visit to a small claims court, or both? And most importantly, which small piece of paved real estate talks to me?
Oh, God. talks.
Yes.
Talks? He's the pavement whisperer. Is he the
parking
lot whisperer?
Yes. I've developed the amazing knack of communicating with asphalt and concrete. As I cruise through the parking lot, I listen for the whispers of, hey, over here.
I see a commercial.
A sidewalk, it's a side talk.
Yes.
It always comes. It's surprising that it can be heard above the female passenger's unending, where are you going? What's wrong with that spot? Dad, are we ever going to park? It may take 5 minutes of trolling to find the right spot, but it always materializes. One spot may be too small by 4 inches. Another spot is not acceptable because it's where a runaway shopping cart might take aim at the family chariot. One spot materializes, and sure enough, shopping carts actually travel uphill to damage our car on occasion. The one spot that's pointed out with shouts of, that one, why don't you take that one? It's just not right. I'm kind of like Goldilocks trying out the various bowls of porridge. Now, what, you ask, is the perfect parking spot? Well, there must not be any cars next to the spot. It cannot be with any measurable distance to the shopping cart drop-off corral. It must be visible from inside the destination. It can't be too close to the parking lot entrance or exit. It can't be under anything that will support birds of any type. Any curbs next to it cannot be higher than 3 inches. It can't be directly next to any building, display, storage facility, charity drop-off container, dumpster, or piles of anything. I must feel good.
Oh, wow.
About any nearby
cars. How can he go anywhere? I know.
He can't.
He can go nowhere.
He pulls out the tires and sets
it. Must be less than 3 years old, and they must have an original purchase price of at least $50,000. The parking spot can't be anywhere any road debris might be, and it must be clean and puddle-free. The spot must be clear visual field when I back out. I think you'll agree that they're all understandable requirements.
No, Lance. No.
Anyone not agreeing is either an unskilled car parker or a Lambert other than me.
I'm not a Lambert.
Is that the end of the story?
I'm not saying that. No, no. No, oh, okay. No, no. It gets better.
All right.
How can it get any better?
Oh, well, all these requirements are totally reasonable. However, my wife and daughter have yet to recognize this and my amazing ability for locating just the right parking spot. Yes. Yes. Perhaps it is a quarter mile from our destination or 1,000 feet from any nearby car, but ladies usually end up reluctantly agreeing that, indeed, it is a great parking spot. The time it takes for us to walk from the car to the destination provides ample time to discuss my successful parking strategy, or at least point it out to my passengers. I am, after all, a professional.
I have a visual. I have a visual that it's going to look like a tugboat with tires strapped on the sides, hanging off the side.
What it's going to look like is the only available spot in a parking lot 6 blocks from wherever they want to go.
Yes.
Exactly.
This story by itself is reason enough for us never to car share with Lance.
Oh, I know.
Because you'll never find
I wonder which car he was actually talking about that he would actually do that. Because I have been to places, out to coffee, and I didn't see him do that kind of thing with his Mustang when he had it. So
I suspect that there may be just the tiniest little bit of tongue-in-cheek here.
Yes. But it kind of goes along with a few people we do know with cars.
Driving the Avanti, I could see him wanting to be careful. Yes. That's a nice car. Henry Hillman, on the other hand, any parking space you put that thing in has got 8 feet on either side of the car because it's that big.
That's right.
So maybe not such a... You know, Lance does write these things. Fenders, Fins, and Friends is a really good book. He's got grins,
there
gears,
are really good stories in there, yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Yep.
It's just full of those things. And we kid Lance a lot, but, you know, I really do want to thank him for letting us read the stories on the show because they're a lot of fun.
And
we
get
a lot
of
feedback from it. He does. He's a great guy.
He gets it.
Yeah, well, he does. I mean, he is a car guy, let's face it. And I have to say this now because we're talking about Lance. I keep watching his Facebook page, and while Lance is still a car guy, let's face it, he has moved on to collecting antique radios.
Yes, he has.
Radio Ranch. Has more and more. See, I think there's going to come a point here at some point. We've talked about this before. Lance has a standard two-car garage. Now, the glamour shots that he takes of it make it look palatial.
Oh, yeah.
It's really not that big. And now he's had to build, you know, side shelves to put all his radios in there. And he's got about 40 of them, I think.
Yes, he does.
There's quite a number. I'm not sure if there's going to come a time when he doesn't actually put a car in that garage. And there's not a lot of room on the street outside his house for cars. So
my car's been in his garage.
Yes, yes.
Yep, for a photo shoot for
It was a photo shoot, yes. Yep, I've seen some of those pictures.
Yeah.
Well, he has really got into Ranch. He was doing, when they were allowing it, doing a lot of out and about public speaking and that kind of thing. And he has had a radio show where he was doing some storytelling of all things. He's really good at that. Yeah, but, you know, before we finished off with our last segment, Ron wanted to mention that if you have any questions on working on your car or anything, text, message us, connect with us on our Facebook page, because anything that we can do to help you guys or other people that are on our page can reach out to you and help you out.
Yeah, you can do it on the page if you like, make it public, that's just fine.
Yeah.
You want to message us individually, please go right ahead and do that. You want to email us, you can do that at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. So we're happy to talk with you about any of that. And we're also happy to just have you say, hey, we like the show.
Or hi there.
We hate the show. Or or something. But yeah.
Well, we got about a minute to kick around here, and I wanted to kind of ask you, Brady, that you are over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and it's right next door to Spokane.
Yes, it is.
And you were telling me that you're already getting involved with some car groups over there and getting to know some people.
Either 2 or 3 weeks from today. I can't remember which. We'll have to look at the calendars.
Right.
I've got a guy named Brent Lundquist, who is the administrator and starter of the Northern Idaho Rat Rods and Cruisers Facebook page and club. I had lunch with him the other day. He's a great guy, and he's got it's 900 members.
Nice.
On the page. So yeah, we'll talk to him and some of the other folks in here too. Stay tuned, by the way, for Coeur d'Alene. More on that later.
Ooh, cool.
Well, we'll be right back with more of the show, and we've got a great trivia question for you this week on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino man. Only
big block.
Welcome back. This is Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and trivial stuff. And, of course, the Nathan Lipinski Automotive Trivia Question of the Week. And last show, we had a pretty good question actually was a good one. And no, I can't believe nobody came up with the answer.
Wow.
Nobody did. So, you know, Nathan.
That was actually 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but I mean, no. So the question was the average percent of income that people spent on a new car. And it's kind of a complex question.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on when you get the answer. You know, you can see something on Facebook that may be some years old. So back in, let me find this now. I just had it here. Okay, so the average amount that people spent on a new car in 1974, the average American family spent 33% of their annual income on their vehicle. In 95, the average was 50%. Today, it's close to 70.
Wow.
It's crazy. And part of that is the economy is what it is. Part of that is, of course, you can finance for 5, 10, you know, a long time. And part of it is just cars are more expensive. So
yes,
a lot
they
of
are.
People are buying used cars. But, you know, the average car these days, 40, 50, depends on what kind of car. You
yep.
buy a truck, you're up beyond that. So, yeah, it's a frightening thing. No, and I think partly nobody wanted to look at those numbers because it's a little scary to look at that. But that's okay. Next week, we're going to have a great one. Here's the question for next week. In 1887, that's when the first car was actually produced. And we've had this on there before. It was the Benz. It was the first car that was ever actually offered for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 10 years between that and for another industry that relates to autos to catch up with the idea that cars were being for sale. And the question is, what industry took 10 years to catch up to cars being offered for sale? And it's kind of a fun one. You can find it. But if you think you know, get with us on our Facebook page. You can just go there and answer it right out in front. You can send us a Facebook Messenger thing. Of course, you can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And you, too, may get your picture and or name put on the 8x10 color glossy certificate that you have won the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Steve is so disgusted, he's leaving. He's not even going to stay and listen to us. But no, no, he's going and getting the can of barn find dust. There it is. Look at that. That's the actual can, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
It contains, well, we think it contains barn find dust. We actually aren't positive. But we're pretty sure that if you sprinkle barn find dust on your vehicle, it'll be worth four times what
yes,
it is.
Yes, yes.
Because that's how
it is. I think I might know that answer on that, but I'm not going to say a
do
thing because I don't want to
well,
be a spoiler
you can guess,
alert here.
You can guess online, and, or you can guess after the show.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you whether or not. So one of the other things we talk about during this segment is upcoming events, and there's actually a couple of them coming up. Around the Northwest, there's some that you know are going to happen. People are doing Christmas cruises, and I've got a list.
Yep.
I don't have them all, so I'll put that together.
But awesome.
It depends on what state you're in. Some of them are being canceled. Washington is, you know, it's getting a little weird because of the COVID restrictions that just came back.
Right.
Oregon, Idaho, Montana, there are some. We'll talk about those next week as we get a little closer to the holidays. And obviously, we're going to have a show next week just before Thanksgiving. We sincerely, you know, wish you guys a great Thanksgiving and a holiday. And
definitely.
Yep.
Depending on spending it. But spend it with family if you possibly can.
Yep.
And I want to thank, you know, Ron for sharing all his expertise on building the cars. And, you know, we all try to chime in where we can. If you have a topic that you want us to talk about, please just get with us wherever you want and let us know. We'd be happy to talk about anything. You've got a car club or a shop that's doing some good work or a Facebook group that you'd like us to reach out to or somebody like, you know, Don Garlitz or John Snyder or whoever else that you want us to talk with. Let us know.
Yes.
Get with us on our Facebook page and we will grab them and talk about it because we're all about automotive everything. That's what
you know
do.
The Rat Bastards, we're putting together a package, Thanksgiving package for like four or five families for Thanksgiving. And we're putting together like a dinner and
nice.
some things for people that
we'll talk about that next week. For sure.
Sure.
Reach over a million enthusiasts every week. We're glad that you're one of them. We had a great time talking about building cars this week. And, you know, as usual, for Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, drive fast, take risks, and come on back next week. We'll do another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.